Today's glimpse into what holiday retail sales will look like and a clue into where the economy is headed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Sales at retail stores across the country were flat last month. The Commerce Department this morning said there was only tepid response to big back-to-school sales and bargains. Retailers look at those numbers to get an idea about what to expect in terms of holiday sales. Chris Christopher is senior political and, senior principal economist at IHS Global Insight. He's with us live from Massachusetts this morning. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I thought back-to-school sales are big moneymakers for the retailers. What's going on?
It is the second most important season in the year after the holiday season. However, this year, back-to-school sales don't look so good. It'll be above water, you know, in positive territory, but not as strong as last year.
What does it say about the broader economy? I mean, is this just one more sign that the recovery stalled out?
Yes, the probability of another recession is extremely high. And looking at how consumers are behaving, which form about 70% of all spending in the economy, things look very, very flat. At least they're not going in negative territory. And if people are not spending for back to school, it's sort of indicating to retailers that the holiday season will not be very robust.
So this is a glimpse into the holiday season, right? I mean, this is what they're looking at.
Yes, and retailers are also looking at it as well. They're saying, "Hey, how are people behaving? How do my cash registers look?" And then they'll plan for the holiday season, so they might not accumulate too much inventory.
What are the biggest consequences? We have about 20 seconds. Are we talking bigger discounts, store closings?
Well, yes, if retailers can't make it through the holiday season, there will be store closings, or some retail chain stores will cut back on their number of locations. If there's an excess inventory, they might do some price discounting. Last year, they did a lot of price discounting, and even before Black Friday.
Chris Christopher from IHS Global Insight. Chris, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The Dow is up about 0.2%, 21 points at 11,127. Wholesale prices didn't go anywhere in August either because of a hike in food prices and a drop in energy prices. Avis Budget Group says it's backing off its bid to buy rental car rival Dollar Thrifty because of the sour economy. Avis pulling the plug on the deal speaks a lot about what's happening not only in the rental car business, but also in the travel and car business. Marketplace's David Gura has that.
Early on, Avis's interest in Dollar Thrifty, a low-cost competitor, made sense. Henry Hartefelt is a travel analyst with the Atmosphere Group.
Avis has perennially been number two to Hertz. This would have allowed them to have narrowed the gap. They obviously don't see that the financial benefits outweigh the cost or the risk.
But the economic downturn has made those potential benefits less attractive. Business travel has changed. Many companies encourage employees to use taxis and public transportation instead of rental cars. But something else may have motivated Avis to drop its bid. David Kilduff is with Partnership Travel Consulting.
The profitability of rental car companies is due a lot to the price of the used car market. Millions of vehicles, and those have to be sold back to the public.
Kilduff says their overall profitability depends on those used car sales. And just like the rental car industry, the market for pre-owned cars isn't what it used to be. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
President Obama's in North Carolina at this hour pitching his American Jobs Bill, looking for support in the business community and in Congress. Beyond the proposals we've been seeing a lot of, the government really has only a couple of ways to jumpstart the economy through fiscal and monetary policy. They are very different, and they're often confused. Marketplace senior editor and Whiteboard host Patty Hirsch is now with us to give us a little primer. Hey, Patty.
Hi, Steve.
So fiscal and monetary policy, what's the difference between the two?
Well, they're both ways that the government stimulates the economy, but fiscal policy is what the government does directly. That's tax, spend, and borrow. And it does this through the Treasury. Monetary policy is what the Fed does.
The Fed, the Federal Reserve.
Right. So the Fed uses various methods to keep money flowing through the system at just the right rate to keep inflation low and to keep people employed.
But isn't the Fed part of the government?
Yeah, but not in the way the Treasury is. Have you seen the movie The Godfather?
Well, of course, yes.
So you know who Tom Hagen is, right?
He was the consigliere, right?
Right. Yeah, he advises the family on how to run their business. Well, in the government, the Treasury Secretary is like the consigliere. He advises the President and the Congress on how much to tax, how much to spend, and, of course, how much to borrow when they run short. So once the government decides what to do, the Treasury, they do the business.
All right. So who's the Fed?
The Fed is Luca Brasi.
Oh, the assassin!
Yeah. So Luca, right, is not a fully paid-up member of the family. They contract him, they have oversight of what he does, and he checks in with them now and again. But otherwise, he has a pretty free hand to do the business of the family, if you like, using the various tools at his disposal. Right, well, the Fed is pretty similar to that. The governors are appointed and overseen by Congress, but they can use any of the tools that they have.
So what are those tools? I mean, we're not talking piano wire and guns here, are
we? No. But the Fed's instruments are pretty blunt as well. You know, it adjusts interest rates, it lends to banks, it makes the banks hold certain amounts of reserves at the Fed, and this is all to keep money flowing through the system. The problem is, it's used all of those tools, and we're still not moving. So right now, the Fed looks a bit like Luca Brasi standing in the street with like a bent knife and a busted hammer and an empty gun, and the target's still coming.
So that's it?
Well, no. I mean, the Fed may be out of the picture, but the Congress still has options. The problem is that the Congress, in order to get anything done, taxing, spending, and raising money,
right,
they're going to have to agree. And just like a family of warring mafiosi, right now they're not agreeing on anything.
Marketplace's senior editor and whiteboard guy. And you've got a whiteboard
on this,
yeah,
right? We've got a whiteboard on this. It's all there at marketplace.org. You can check it out.
Patty Hirsch, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And check out and subscribe to the podcast while you're there. Check the day's numbers, too, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In an economy with more job seekers than jobs, there is a certain dilemma to be had, a trade-off, if you will.
There's an older segment of the working population that brings experience and a certain wisdom, and the younger generation brings a wonderful vitality.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Jobs Through the Ages, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.